Time to leverage on labor. Tharendra Gunaratna turns the spotlight on our productivity faux pas. Not even a little water that comes from the rain must flow into the ocean without being made useful to men. King Parakrama Bahu I. He understood the value of scarce resources and realized that Lanka was a tiny state in comparison to its far larger neighbors, and the only way for the island nation to become the rice bowl of Asia was to ensure its people made maximum use of limited resources. If the great king were alive today, would he be pleased with our progress on this front? Sri Lanka was recently ranked 85th in the world in the Global Competitiveness Index published by the World Economic Forum, WEF, and below countries such as Rwanda, Tajikistan, and Guatemala. To those who argue that we are still recovering from the almost three-decade civil war, consider this. In 2008, at the height of the conflict, the same index ranked Sri Lanka at number 77 in the world. We clearly have a problem. As a small nation that is dwarfed by much larger regional countries, higher productivity and competitiveness are critical for the development journey that we are attempting to embark upon. So how do we make optimal use of our limited resources? We can start by addressing youth unemployment. At almost 20%, Sri Lanka's youth unemployment rate is the highest in South Asia. Limited access to education has been a major barrier to solving the problem. Today, almost 40% of students in Sri Lanka study at schools that do not have classes beyond year 11. However, the problem cannot be solved by simply improving access to education. We need to admit that our education system itself has been a failure. A World Bank study conducted in 2011, for example, found that an inadequately educated workforce was one of the three major issues facing Sri Lanka's businesses. If we are to maximize the utilization of our labor pool, we also need an overhaul of our draconian labor laws. According to the World Bank, redundancy dismissal in Sri Lanka involves an average severance pay of 54 weeks. The comparative figures for Singapore, India and Vietnam are 0, 11 and 25 weeks respectively. We need to find the right balance between protecting our workers and ensuring that both local and foreign investors are encouraged to make maximum use of the available labor pool. We must also admit that we will never reach the pinnacle of success as a country unless every Sri Lankan is offered equal access to employment regardless of gender, religion or race. Sri Lanka's performance, especially on the gender front, has been abysmal. In 1990, only 46% of Sri Lankan females participated in the labor force. By 2017, this had dropped to 35%. Whereas the male participation rate remained at a healthy 74%. There are myriad reasons for this unfortunate state of events. Social and cultural barriers rank topmost on this list. We also have laws in place that restrict employment opportunities available to women. For example, our laws do not enable women to work the same night hours as men. How can we expect to maximize productivity if we unfairly restrict employment opportunities for a large portion of the population? On a lighter note, we also need to admit that it is impossible to maximize national productivity whilst enjoying the highest number of public holidays in the world. Today, we have no fewer than 25 public holidays in a calendar year. In comparison, Singapore has 11. We may never be able to live up to King Parakrama Bahu I's expectations. However, we definitely need to do better than the status quo, because higher productivity is a vital cog in the wheel of Sri Lanka's march to prosperity.
Discover Sri Lanka, the ultimate guide to everything in Sri Lanka, from restaurants and spas to wildlife parks and historical locations. Get your hands on the latest edition, which is the only thing you'll need. Discover Sri Lanka. In stores now.